Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 9th November 2017 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Salam dear listeners, I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Today we have another very beautiful bhajan adoring our Bhagwan as Lord Krishna. Again a bhajan which used to be sung in the early years in the Prashantinilaya Mandir. The first line of the bhajan goes like this.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal.
So this is the bhajan we will learn now. Let's get started getting familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan. Then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, the beat. And then we'll take every word of this bhajan and dwell on what they signify. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal, He Gopala Sai, Sai Nandalal, Prashanti Nivasi, Nivasi Nandalal, He Antaratma Jyoti, Jyoti Nandalal, Satyam Shivam, Shivam Sundaram, He Sundara Rupa, He Sai Nandalal.
So those are the beautiful names that form the lyrics of this lovely bhajan. And now it's time to sing. Brother Srinivasulu and Brother Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration of how to sing this bhajan. Please listen to this tune carefully.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E Pancham.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal.
He Gopala Sai, He Sai Nandalal.
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 Prashanti Nivasi, Nivasi Nandalal.
Prashanti Nivasi, Nivasi Nandalal.
Prashanti Nivasi, Nivasi Nandalal.
Prashanti Nivasi, Nivasi Nandalal.
He Antaratma Jyoti, He Jyoti 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 Nandalal.
Satyam Shivam, Shivam Sundaram.
Satyam Shivam, Shivam Sundaram.
Satyam Shivam, Shivam Sundaram.
Satyam Shivam, Shivam Sundaram.
He Sundara Rupa, He Sai Nandalal.
He Sundara Rupa, He Sai Nandalal.
హే సుందర రూప హే సాయి నందలాల్
హే సుందర రూప హే సాయి నందలాల్
ముకుంద మురారి మురారి గోపాల్
So that's the lovely bhajan on charming Lord Krishna. Brother Srinivasulu gave us a beautiful demonstration along with Brother Anirudh. And now let us learn a little more about what makes the bhajan so beautiful. So Anirudh, what are your thoughts on the makeup of this bhajan?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
When you ask me what makes this bhajan beautiful, the first thought is Sindhu Bhairavi Rag, which is very, very haunting and captivating. So any Namavali you sing on this Sindhu Bhairavi Rag, it has some power or magic that it uplifts the entire song and make anyone connected. In a devotional music, actually Sindhu Bhairavi plays a very, very important role that the komal notes in the raga has a very meditative flavor. Let me just take you across the notes of this raga. Means what is so unique in this raga?
Sa re
komal re
sa re ga
komal ga
ma pa da
komal da
ni
komal ni
sa
These are the basic set of swaras which form Sindhu Bhairavi, but you also have many other notes being added along with these, like So there is a Shuddha Dha being added, and also
Re Shudri Gama Re Komal Re Sa
So there are many notes in this raga actually, Shudri, Komal Re, Shuddha Dha, Komal Dha, and sometimes even some Hindustani classical singers, you know, they take Sindhu Bhairavi in a different way, include Shuddha Ga or sometimes a Tivra Ma, or it's so deep that
yeah.
We need to learn so much to go into the exact intricate details of how the raga flows through the notes. But as our bhajans is concerned, I think the basic notes are covered, where anybody is just, you know, it can make anybody close their eyes and just feel the presence of the God. And that's when the music becomes an offering and becomes a bhajan.
Absolutely. Since this is such a meditative raga, a raga which has so many devotional songs and which lends itself so easily to pour out our feelings to the Lord, why don't we spend some time discovering the meditative power of this raga?
Yeah, so this time I'm just thinking, let's take some four words.
Okay.
Like Mukunda, Govinda, Gopala, Ananda.
Okay.
Maybe we can try to play around these words, keeping the Sindhu Bhairavi in the background, or playing in the raga Sindhu Bhairavi, and try to get a dhun, or just go into a Namasmarana mode.
Sure.
Mukunda Govinda ಮುಕುಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಮುಕುಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಮುಕುಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಮುಕುಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಮುಕುಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಆನಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ 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 ಮುಕುಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಆನಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಆನಂದ ಗೋಪಾಲ ಮುಕುಂದ 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 ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ
shows how powerful the names of the Lord can become, how they can loft you into beautiful subliminal heights when you use the swaras effectively, when you use the medium of the ragas in a soulful way.
Absolutely. We are so gifted that God has given us these ragas that we are able to easily put them into the lyrics, and then like how Swami in his discourse he says that Rama Nanna Kapadeya.
Yes.
That words, and then when you put a tune with the help of a raga which gives you that connect.
Yes.
Rama Nannu Kapadeya. Yes. So that has so much life in it.
Absolutely.
So same way I feel we are so blessed that we are having all these ragas, and it is up to us to make use of these ragas in a most efficient way so that it connects anybody.
Absolutely.
And one more thought I want to share is that last time we had this Prem Bhakti Jagao Man Mein.
Yes.
So we were saying that in that bhajan we took the help of the lyrics to get connected.
Yes.
And this demo actually, it might show that even though the lyrics are just four words, Mukunda,
yes,
Gopala, Govinda,
yes,
but how a tune plays a role,
yes,
to make the whole bhajan captivating.
Absolutely.
And finally everything is, the feeling
I
is...
I think that's the beauty of bhajans, isn't it? In one bhajan, you have the lyrics playing a very beautiful role.
Yeah.
In another bhajan, you have the raga playing a beautiful role.
Yeah.
In another bhajan, it's just the feel.
Yeah. So the most common thing,
yes,
between these two is the bhavam.
Absolutely.
So... and that's what Swami gives the most importance
to. Absolutely. Wonderful. So let's decode the swaras of this bhajan for the ease of our listeners who are into playing this bhajan in their different musical instruments.
Yeah. I think it's very important to do this exercise because, as I mentioned before, there are many notes in Sindhu Bhairavi. You have Komaldri, Shuddhiri. So where, in which line, what is the word which has the Shuddhiri, Komaldri, knowing that is very important, because when we sing in Sai centers, lead the bhajan in Sai centers,
yes,
we need to stand on the proper note.
Correct.
So let's take the first line and do the swaras.
And that is all. This is also important, I guess, to maintain the purity of the tune.
Yeah, absolutely. We should not get
time. With time, many times the tunes change.
Yeah.
I think if we keep this backbone,
the tunes also change according to the convenience of the singer.
Singers, yeah.
You know, if that tune may be a little tougher to sing, but I think as a composition we can maintain the same tune, but
yes,
the variations are not necessarily be given.
Yes.
So yeah, it is up to the singer whether to give the variations or sing, yeah, it the simple, because finally what reaches is the,
yes,
the lyric and the tune sung in the proper beat.
Absolutely. So let's take the first line.
Yeah. Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal, Sa ni sa da ni sa sa, Sa sa re re ga ga pa ma. So we should note that in this line, Sa re da Shudri.
Sa ni sa da ni sa sa, Sa sa re re ga ga pa ma. He Gopala Sai, He Sai Nandalal, Papani Dada Mare Re, Re Mama Gagare Sa.
So in this line you have the Komaldri.
Papani Dada Mare Re, Papani Dada Mare Re, Re Mama Gagare Sa. Prashanti Nivasi, Nivasi Nandalal, Papadani Sani Sa 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 Dadani Dapa. Papadani Sani Sa 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 Dadani Dapa. He Antaratma Jyoti, He Jyoti Nandalal.
The swaras for this line is same as the second line. He Gopala Sai, He Sai Nandalal.
Papani Dada Mare Re, Re Mama Gagare Sa.
And again the bhajan goes forward with
Satyam Shivam Shivam Sundaram, He Sundara Rupa, He Sai Nandalal.
Which is basically a repeat of the previous.
Yeah. It's a repeat of the previous
two lines. Yeah.
Wonderful. So let's do the beat.
Yeah. The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat. The simple aritalam or keherva in the Hindustani classical music. Let's have the count and we can have the demonstration of the bhajan with the tabla. 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4. Mukunda Murari Murari Gopal Mukunda Murari Murari Gopal.
He Gopal Sai, He Sai Nandala.
He Gopal Sai, He Sai Nandala.
So that gives us a good feel of the swaras, the tune and the beat. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Anand.
Thank you, Vishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So with that, we are done with the tune of the bhajan. We learned a little bit about the raga of the bhajan and also about the beat of the bhajan. And let's now move on to the heart of the bhajan. The feeling with which we should render this bhajan so that it becomes an offering to the Lord. So let's begin by taking one line at a time. Let's start with the first line.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal. Mukunda means one who confers mukti. The one who has the power to bestow on us liberation. And there is only one power in this universe who can give us ultimate freedom. And that Lord is called Mukunda. Murari is another name of the Lord because he was the one who vanquished the demon Mura. That is why he is called Murari. Gopal is another very, very significant name. Go means the senses. So the name Gopala means he who controls the senses. And why should the senses be controlled? The senses should be controlled because otherwise they will stand in the way of sacrifice. All the senses are self-centered and egoistic. That is their nature. The senses must be educated. They must be directed inward. They must be led towards the universal Atma. And this can be gained only when we entrust the senses to Gopala. Bhagwan says everyone must pass through satkarma or good deeds into the realm of expanding love. And from love, learn the lesson of sacrifice, dedication and surrender to the one overlord. And that overlord is Mukunda. So in this line, we adore the one who can confer us ultimate freedom. The one who can sublimate our senses. The one who is the master of our senses and the master of freedom. Let's move on to the next line.
He Gopala Sai, He Sai Nandalal.
Here again you have the words Gopala and Sai. Gopala Sai referring to the same Lord who was earlier as Gopala, came down again as Sai Nandalala. Nandalala means the darling son of King Nanda. So here we adore Lord Sai as the one who earlier incarnated as Krishna and had the name as Govinda and Gopala and now adored as Sai Gopala and Sai Nandalala. Let's move on to the third line.
Prashanti Nivasi, Nivasi Nandalal.
One recalls here a very beautiful and revealing incident shared by Mrs. Karunamba Ramamurthy in the book Sri Satya Sai Anandadai. One day in the evening, bhajans had not yet started in the Prashanti Nila Mandir and a group of people who had missed a bus came to the Mandir. We are talking about the Mandir in the 40s and probably early 50s. So a lady from that group which missed the bus came to the room of Mrs. Karunamba's mother and asked for drinking water and inquired where she could have a wash. So Karunamba's mother showed her the nearest water source and then she also accompanied her to a short distance and showed the way and then she returned. By the time this lady returned after her wash,
Bhagwan was standing in the bhajan hall, dressed in a parrot green robe, and this is a robe he had never worn before. Bhagwan had combed his hair and he was chewing betel leaves, so he was dressed in green and his lips were red and he was looking so beautiful. When the lady saw Bhagwan, she just started crying, saying, "Oh my God, here is my dear Lord, here is my dear King of Yogis." And she uttered that and she fell unconscious in the courtyard of the mandir. After she regained consciousness, the only thing she was saying is, "Where were you hiding all these days, my Lord?" And the moment she saw Bhagwan, she would run towards Bhagwan and she wanted to hold him. And Bhagwan had to really hide behind walls and curtains to protect himself. Once when Bhagwan was inside the curtain, she could not move the curtain and she was searching for Bhagwan everywhere and she just fell down crying, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna," and she again lost consciousness. And when she fell down, Bhagwan came out running and Bhagwan asked for water and sprinkled it on her face and then applied vibhuti on her forehead. Then Bhagwan asked the lady devotees there to fan this lady. He also asked for sacred yellow grains, yellow rice grains, and Bhagwan sprinkled them over this lady. So that's how she would slowly regain consciousness. But once she regains consciousness, she would again run looking for Bhagwan and then fall down calling, "Swami, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna." In fact, when her husband saw this behavior, he was very perturbed and he was very disturbed. He thought, "Why is my wife behaving like a mad person?" And he would shout at her and ask her to keep quiet. When Bhagwan saw this, he went to her husband and said, "Please do not scold her. She is behaving that way because of this Thala Mahatmyam, because of the sacredness of this place. She is what she is because of the power of Prashanti Nilayam." Bhagwan said, "Some people do get influenced in this way as soon as they step into Prashanti Nilayam." The husband did not understand much and he said, "There must be some mysterious power in the idols of this mandir. That is why she is behaving so strangely." And the whole night the lady was awake. She kept only chanting Krishna, Krishna and meditating on Krishna. And in the morning, Mrs. Karunama's mother went again to her and asked her, "What happened? Why are you like this?" And the lady replied, "Amma, you have no clue. This person is Gopala Krishna. He is just deceiving you, behaving like a human being. Whole night he was there with me, fanning me, and he was applying vibhuti on my head. He was there with me the entire night. Did you not see him?" And she was surprised because Bhagwan was there sleeping. And all the devotees in those days used to sleep around Swami. So they all saw Swami sleeping in the hall, but this devotee was saying that she has seen Swami fanning her all through the night. And she was only chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. The next day, that entire group was about to leave. Bhagwan then called the lady's husband and said, "Please do not trouble her. She is not going to live for more than 15 days. She cannot get rid of her madness for Krishna. This is her last birth. Please allow her to think of Krishna." And just as Bhagwan had predicted, exactly after 15 days, she quietly, peacefully merged with Krishna. In fact, this lady had been worshipping Saint Andal for the previous 12 years. She was so evolved that the moment she saw Bhagwan, she knew she has found whom she was praying and searching for decades. So this is the power of Sai Krishna who resides in Prashanti, and that is why he is called Prashanti Nivasi, the Krishna who now resides in Prashanti Nilayam. That is what is conveyed in the third line. Let's move on to the fourth line.
He Antaratma Jyoti, He Jyoti Nandalal.
Antaratma Jyoti, the one who lights up our inner being. Jyoti Nandalal, the one who is light, who is the source of light and who is nothing but light and light alone. On one occasion in the courtyard of the old Prashanti Nilayam Mandir, Bhagwan told Mrs. Karunamma Ramamurthy, "Ammai, do you know what is beneath this sheath of body?" Bhagwan himself answered and said, "It is only brilliant light, only brilliant jyoti. That is what Bhagwan's body is made of." There is a very beautiful experience shared by Mr. Maharaja Krishna Raskotra, former High Commissioner of India to the United Kingdom and a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan. Mr. Raskotra first met Bhagwan in July 1972, and since then he had several personal experiences of Bhagwan's omnipotence. But he says the most stunning revelation of Bhagwan's divine nature that he experienced happened on 23rd June 2009. That morning, Mr. Raskotra took his usual chair in the Prashantinilayam outer veranda, and everything seemed normal. As usual, his gaze was fixed on the spot beyond the gate of Yajur Mandir where Bhagwan would come into view. A moment after Bhagwan came out of his residence and Mr. Raskotra spotted Bhagwan, things started happening the like of which he had never experienced before. All of a sudden, he felt a surge of mild warmth in his body and a change started coming over his vision. All that was static and stable a moment earlier, the boundary wall, the gate, the solid buildings beyond and the rows of women devotees in their multicolored saris, the vast Sai Kulwant Hall itself, everything just became a sea of gentle waves. It was just waves of multi-hued light. And instinctively, Mr. Raskotra's right hand went to the pulse in his left wrist because he wanted to check if he was normal. He could still clearly see for a fleeting moment or two Bhagwan coming out in the wheelchair, and there were others who were next to Bhagwan walking with him. And momentarily, again the scene changed, and it was light and light everywhere, and it was the purest form of pure light. The whole hall was enveloped in this white luminescence, and it looked as if nothing else ever existed there, nothing except that heavenly radiance that Mr. Raskotra was stunned to see. Whichever way his gaze turned, he saw only light, and this was covering the entire ambience of the Sai Kulwant Hall and beyond. The boundary walls topped by iron grills, the solid buildings beyond the gate, everything, the few thousands of devotees seated on either side of Bhagwan's route, everything had miraculously dissolved into that dazzling, brightening splendor of divine effulgence. And while he was beholding that marvel of whiteness, Mr. Raskotra said to himself, "I am actually fully conscious. This is real. But this is so strange. The light is so bright. But it is so soothing, it is not harsh on my eyes, and there is no heat radiating from it. I am feeling so filled and I am feeling so light." And he also observed how remarkably calm he was, because he was just feasting on that cool, bright light which had transformed everything. Even though he was seeing something supernatural, that did not unnerve him, it only filled him with peace and calmness. And he says, "My divine master that day gave me a vision of his reality. He gave me a vision of who he truly is. I feel so blessed." And even as he was soaking in that experience, the scene suddenly began to change and the light swiftly receded from all sides to a point of about 2 to 3 meters from the gate into Sai Kulwant Hall, where Bhagwan and the 2-3 people along with Bhagwan would have then reached. Mr. Raskotra could now make out Bhagwan at the center of a quickly shrinking halo, and then it was soon the normal everyday scene of Bhagwan on his usual round to bless the assembled devotees. Mr. Raskotra's eyes were filled with tears of joy, tears of love and tears of gratitude. This whole experience lasted for 4 to 5 minutes. He sat in the veranda, bedazzled by the transfiguration of Bhagwan and the surroundings into that sea of light. He was completely oblivious of what was happening around him, and a few minutes later, Bhagwan came. In fact, he didn't even realize, someone nudged him, and then he saw Bhagwan's wheelchair coming towards him, and he quickly rose and he placed his head at Bhagwan's feet. Bhagwan blessed him with a beatific smile. He didn't say anything, but his hand was raised in blessing. Mr. Raskotra says no words were necessary. The avatar had revealed to me his true reality. Bhagwan had indeed given me a vision of that divine light. But then later he thought, but what about those thousands of ordinary men and women and the solid mass of insentient matter all around which also became light? It was not only Bhagwan who appeared as light. And he thought, are they all also integral part of Bhagwan's being? And then he realized, hadn't Bhagwan also given me a vision of the ultimate truth, basically the unity of all existence, how everything, animate and inanimate, everything is only light. Bhagwan revealed to him as how he is the supreme light and the source of supreme light, and everything around is only that light. And that is what we pray to Bhagwan in this line, He Antaratma Jyoti, He is the light who shines within and without. He is the Jyoti Nandalal. He is the God who is nothing but light. We move on to the next line.
Satyam Shivam, Shivam Sundaram.
Satyam Shivam Sundaram, in fact, is the title given for Bhagwan Baba's life story. The initial volumes were written by Professor Kasturi. Bhagwan himself, talking about this book, had said, the title given to the book is full of meaning. It speaks of me as immanent in every one of you. Remember, truth or satyam is the basic reality of you all. The real you is truth. That is why no one likes to be called as a liar. The real you is goodness, joy, happiness and auspiciousness. The real you is Shivam. Because you are Shubham, Nityam and Anandam. And Bhagwan says the real you is also Sundaram. No one likes to be called as ugly. No one likes to be called as inauspicious. And that is why everyone is Shivam. Everyone is Sundaram, because no one likes to be said that he does not look good or she does not look good, because everyone thinks that they are the Atma. No one likes any deformities or defects on their physical vehicle to be attributed to them, because everyone has a beauty inherent in them. And that is why each person is Sundaram, and that is what is Bhagwan's life all about. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. Bhagwan's life is our life, and our life is a part of his story. So that is what is conveyed in this line. Let's move on to the last line.
He Sundara Rupa, He Sai Nandalal.
Sundara Rupa, the beautiful Lord. Let us recall the experience of Miss Gali Sharada Devi. She was blessed to be a contemporary of our Bhagwan in his avatar as Shirdi Baba, and she later came to him in Puttaparthi. Bhagwan affectionately called her Pedda Bottu, meaning the big bindi, referring to the big round of vermilion that Hindu ladies wear on their forehead. She was a very pious and noble lady and lived in Prashantinilayam till the end of her days. She was very attached to Swami, and Swami too loved her very dearly. From her young age, she was very devoted to Lord Krishna. She was used to worshipping an idol of Lord Krishna. Throughout her life, she had received several divine experiences and visions, and after she came to Bhagwan, she felt the desire to see Bhagwan as her beloved Gopala. But she never had that vision, and she never asked also Bhagwan for this. But on one occasion, when Bhagwan was talking to her, she caught hold of Swami's feet and she started chanting a shloka. The essence of that shloka was, Bhagwan is the mother, the father, the dearest friend, the relative. He is the wealth, he is the knowledge and everything. And I take refuge in that Lord who is the indweller of my heart. So this was the meaning of what she was singing. And as she was singing this, her hands were on Bhagwan's feet. She had caught hold of his feet. And as she was doing this seva, she closed her eyes. And eventually she put her head on Bhagwan's feet and she says, after a little while when I opened my eyes, I could see his feet up to the knees, and it was not the usual feet. These feet were covered with yellow silk, and I could see 6-year-old Krishna with a yellow silk robe and his little feet wearing anklets. And when she saw that,
she was so captivated. She felt so blessed and she was so much in raptures that she lost consciousness. When she regained consciousness, she went to Bhagwan and said, "Swami, why did you do that? I only saw the feet. I could not see your entire form. Why didn't you give me the full darshan?" And Bhagwan said, "That is enough. With that darshan itself, you were half dead. If I give you full darshan, you will be fully gone." But imagine the bliss that Pedda Bhattu Amma experienced. That is the bliss that all of us all the time look for, because this is the bliss that will give us ultimate freedom. And this is the bliss that will add true beauty to our lives. In this line, we pray to the Lord, we pray to the liberating feet of the Lord to fill us with this bliss, to fill us with this beauty. We adore Him as the beautiful Lord and pray to Him to fill us with the beauty of this bliss. So that is some explanation of this line. Dear listeners, please dwell on the meaning of every word of this bhajan. You can get very beautiful insights, and each line can send you into raptures of divine ecstasy. As we ruminate on this line and as we ruminate on the beautiful names of the Lord, which are so pregnant with meaning, let us sing this bhajan once again, lost in the thoughts of the beauty and the sublimity of His name and His form. You will now listen to the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan.
Mukunda Murari, Murari Gopal. Hey, Sundar Roop.
సాయి నందలా ముకుంద మురారీ మురారీ గోపాల్.
That brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet. You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 9th November 2017 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.